if we learn that we need to come to the end of ourselves and realize we can't do it, we need to be crucified, we need to die to our flesh daily, the Bible says, and the Apostle Paul talked about that in the it's a beautiful song. I remember the first time I heard it, it took me a little while to get it and understand it, but I really enjoy that song. And the idea, have you come to the self where you realize you're not going to let your flesh live, but instead you're going to live through Jesus Christ, be completely surrendered to Him. So Nehemiah chapter number 2 tonight, and as we continue on in our series in Nehemiah, and this idea of rising up and building our theme for the year, we're going to talk about dealing with opposition. Dealing with opposition tonight. You know what? Anytime you say, let's rise up and build, the enemy is going to say, let's rise up and oppose. Anytime you go to change something in your life to make yourself a stronger Christian, the enemy is going to say, nope, we're not going to let that go without some type of work and some type of effort. So let's look at our theme verse for the week. It's Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 20. I know you're going to, the beginning part might be a little bit, then answered I them and said unto them. But the part I want you to focus on says, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. And that's important to understand. The God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore, we His servants will rise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. And you say, Pastor, it's kind of an odd verse for the week. But I tell you, we really need to understand that we're seeking God to prosper us. We're not looking for other people to prosper us. It's God we're relying upon. And you see this, and he says, therefore we His servants, Nehemiah sees himself as a what? A servant. He sees the people that are with him, just servants, that will rise and build. And then it talks about, and I know it's going to be reiterated in our message, but ye have no portion. He's saying to the group that's being opposing, you have nothing to do with this. You have no portion, you have no right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. They said, this is God's city. You have nothing to do with this. You need to just get out of the way and you need to let me to be able to do what God has put in our heart to do. And sometimes the opposition that we face that comes from people that are unsaved, and sometimes they even come from people who claim to be saved, we got to come to the point and say, look, this has nothing to do with you. This is my relationship with Jesus Christ, and you need to just kind of step out of the way and let me do what God's called me to do. So I'm going to read it once, and then we'll read it all together. Then answer I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore, we His servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Let's go ahead and read it all together. Nehemiah 2:20. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore, we His servants will rise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. The idea for a lot of our theme verses is to get this thought by and say what God has spoken to our hearts about in the week to carry it with us. So as we remember this, I think this will be a great thing because the Bible says, yea, all who live godly will suffer persecution. You're going to face opposition in your life, and we just got to come to the realization, how are we going to face it? Are we going to recognize it as something from the enemy? Are we going to recognize it that it comes from the devil? I know the devil uses individuals, but we got to remember who we're really truly fighting against, and we don't fight against flesh and blood, the Bible tells us. We fight against the principalities, the ruler of this world. And so I want you to understand today, well, how do you deal with opposition? There's three things I'd like you to look at. But before we get into all those, let's read a couple verses to tell you the story. Most of us know Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. God has spoken to his heart about going and rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem, his hometown. His heart was broken. He saw the burden. He began to pray. He knew God was in it. He knew God did the work. He has shared his burden. He is there. He has explained his burden. Everybody says, rise up and build. Okay, we see the purpose. We see the need for building. We're going to rise up and build. And then opposition comes. Anytime you try to do something for the Lord, opposition will come. Anytime you say, let's rise up and do something for God, you know what? The opposition is going to come. How do you deal with that opposition? Let's look here in Nehemiah chapter 2. Look what it said in verse number 10. It says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. You say, why would they care? Well, these were probably leaders, and what we know of them is leaders in surrounding areas. And if someone had came and rebuilt the temple, and they tried to stop the rebuilding of the temple, and we saw how they were discouraged, and we talk about what happened in the book of Haggai, we've seen the connection there. Well, the temple's been built, now the walls are down. Now, without walls, pretty much you are a city that is not protected. There is not any type of rule or reign. It's still a city that's kind of can be overrun, and there's no way that it can be a established place where people can look to. And these leaders of these other areas want to keep Jerusalem down. They want to keep it quiet. They remember the stories of his heyday and his glory days. In the studying I've done, some of these guys that we find in verse number 19, some of these are descendants of Lot. And the relationship he had with his daughters. Also, they are known for being polytheistic. What does that mean? They worship many gods. And the nation of Jerusalem, or the nation of Israel, city of Jerusalem, represents the one true God. So they are grieved in this. Nehemiah still gets the burden. Nehemiah still gets everybody ready to build. In verse number 19, you see the opposition that's voiced here. You see that they stand up and they ridicule. And this is the way it usually begins. And this is not the first time we're going to hear about these guys in the book of Nehemiah. But this is how it starts. It starts by people, in a sense, running their mouths and trying to get you to stop doing what God's put in your heart. Here in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 19 says, "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it." And what did they hear? They heard that they're getting a group together to build the walls. People were excited. They had brought this man that was a cupbearer all the way from the kingdom of the king. And he brought him there, and they are getting ready to build. And it says, you see how it begins. It says, they laughed. They heard it. They laughed to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king?" Then answered I them and said unto them, "The God of heaven, he shall prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will rise and build, but ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem." I think this is an important message. This is an important way of dealing with how to deal with opposition. And, you know, it's not going to cover everything. It's not going to be a quick fix. It's not going to stop the opposition from coming. But I think there's some things that we can learn from this. First, we can learn how the opposition attacks us. Secondly, we can look at whose opinion really matters. And thirdly, we can look at the occupation we should take over. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to this passage of Scripture, I know there's many hurting people. Lord, we live in a world that tries to hurt Christians many times. Maybe in the world we live in today doesn't physically try to hurt our bodies, but Lord, we do face a lot of opposition and a lot of hardship and a lot of laughter and people despising and people scorning. And Lord, we need to know how to react to that. And we thank you for the story of Nehemiah, his strong leadership, his vision that you've given him, his ability to just continue on and not give up. Lord, help that to be an inspiration to us. Help us to see and learn and grow from this. Help us not to be weary in well-doing. Help us to understand we will reap if we faint not. And Lord, help us to depend and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the first thing I want you to see is the opposition that's voiced here. The opposition is voiced here. You got these three guys, they come up, and these are some of the leaders of the area, and they come and they begin to question. You see, I like to see how it works. First, they said they laughed. Second, they said they despised. And third, they began to question. As soon as you say, "Let's rise up and build," the enemy will say, "Let's rise up and oppose." This is always the case. He said, "Well, I don't like opposition. I don't like friction. I don't like contention." And the Bible, one individual said, "If you want to avoid criticism, then say nothing, do nothing, and believe in nothing." Because if you really don't want opposition, if you don't want somebody to say anything, guess what? All you got to do is say nothing, do nothing, and believe nothing. But that is contrary to what the Word of God says. You know what, you come to the spot and you see this story and you see the first form here. It's their mockery, their slander. They laugh at you. They accuse them of rebuilding against the king, but you see they begin with laughing. No one likes to be laughed at. No one likes to be belittled. When you set about to be used by God in the work of rebuilding broken homes, rebuilding your own life, the enemy will first laugh at you. The devil will cause people to come and mock you. They'll say, oh, you want to witness to your boss, or you want to pray for the sick, or you want to be a soul winner, or you want to be a Sunday school teacher. And they put these thoughts in your mind and they just laugh and they mock at you, whether it's the devil and putting these thoughts into your mind, or whether he even uses individuals that says, I can't believe that you maybe want to be a preacher or a missionary. You can't lead a Bible study. You can't do these things. And what the enemy is trying to do, as they laugh, they will hope that you will back away in fear and say, I don't want to do it. Maybe I shouldn't do it. But you see, Nehemiah gives us an example here. They're laughing at him, but he doesn't care about their laughter. First thing you see is that they laugh. And the second thing you see is they despise them. They despise them. They held them in contempt. They couldn't believe that someone was coming to build the walls again. Someone, as you saw in verse number 10, they were seeking the affairs of this people. That caused them to be upset. Matt, now why would they be upset? What would it be their reasoning or their benefit? They hate the people of God. And many times when you see people who will laugh to scorn and despise the work of the Lord, it's because they don't understand the work of God, they don't believe in the one true God, and they hate the work of God. You would not believe how agnostic our society is becoming. You would not believe how much people in mainstream media today, and people that are the stars of the world today, the movie stars, the sports stars, the music stars, you know, how much they truly hate what we believe in and what we teach in. They mock people that believe in creation. They mock people who believe in a one and only one God. They laugh and they scorn. What are you supposed to do? We're going to see here in a second that number one, this is the opposition, this voice. They laugh, they despise, then they question. And you see what they question here, and they say, what is this thing that you do? And, you know, there's like this thing. It's like it's not important. And they said, you do. You know, why are you doing this? And what are they trying to do? They're trying to intimidate them. They're trying to get them to stop. They're trying to intimidate them into just questioning what they're doing so they would stop. And he says, what is this thing that you do? And then they bring out, will ye rebel against the king? They make them accusation of doing wrongdoing. If they can't get you to stop by laughing at you, they will build a contempt for you and they will begin to hate what you're trying to do. And then they'll start questioning you and start saying, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And what about that? And you know, one of the amazing things in church, and when we're trying to rise up and trying to build and trying to do things for God, it drives people crazy when, you know, the people that have the most question, the people that have the most opposition, are the people who have no interest in helping. They have no interest in seeing the church rise or build. They don't plan on giving. They don't plan on doing. They just want to sit back and they just want to laugh. I can't believe you want to try to do this. They build a contempt about it, and then they begin to scorn, and then they begin to say, well, what about this and what about that? And there's nothing wrong with being thorough about things and hearing wisdom. And there's a safety in the multitude of counselors. But if God's laid something upon your heart, and if God's called you to maybe build up your life a little bit and to rise up and to grow a little bit as a Christian, to learn the Bible a little bit more and maybe be a witness and do things that you know God has inspired and talked to you and spoke to you about doing, you know what? We don't need to listen to the laughing and the scorning and the despising and the questioning of man. We need to just continue on forward. First thing I want you to see is the opposition voice. The second thing I want you to see is the opinion that matters. The opinion that matters. I love verse number 20, that response. One of the reasons why we chose that as our memory verse for this week, because this thought is, I want you to take it, is first of all, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Who is the opinion that matters? It's God. It's the God of heaven. You three might have your own little areas, your little only territorials. And yes, you might even be the leader of these territories. But you know what? The God of heaven is the one I'm listening to. The God of heaven is the one that I'm counting on. I'm not counting on you, and I'm not counting on you, and I'm not counting on you to do anything to help me. I'm looking to God to inspire and to prosper what we're trying to do. And so how do you deal with opposition? How do you respond to opposition? How do you sit there and you look at it and you wonder and you begin reasoning in your mind and reasoning in your heart? You care about who really matters. The opinion that really matters. It's God's opinion. We wait to hear from the Lord. There's a verse that says in Proverbs 14:26, and the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. And I love this thought here, is that we're depending on God. One of the themes that we could think about for the year is prosper. How do you prosper? You go back to Joshua chapter 1, it talks about meditating on the Word of God. God's call is verified when a person faces problems and does not quit. God's call is verified. His call is verified right here. Because you know what? In verse number 19, many of us would have quit when they started laughing at us. Many of us would have quit when they started holding contempt. Say, well, if this is making them upset, this is making them mad, if they don't understand, maybe I should just wait a little while. And that's what they did about building back at the temple we've seen in Haggai. And then you come to this last spot when they begin questioning and they say, well, maybe they got the right idea. Maybe they are thinking, you know what? If they are unsaved, unregenerate, if they have no purpose of living for God, no interest in building their relationship with God and growing in Christ, you know what we need to tell them to do? It's just, you know what? You have nothing to do with this. And that's what Nehemiah does. Is that we see the voice of the opposition and we see the opinion that matters. The test of a man's character is what it takes to stop them. The test of a man's character, what it takes to stop them. And it amazes me how little things stop some people in the work of the Lord when some things don't go their way. They want to quit. When they can't be in charge, they want to quit. When things are not done exactly the way that they wanted them to be done and they feel like their opinion should matter more than anybody else's and more than what God's opinion should matter, they said, well, I'm not going to do it. What does that show us and teach us? Is that those are individuals we need to say, you know what, God's laid this upon my heart. I'm going to go ahead and do this. You know what, a trial does not make us, but a trial reveals us. When a trial happens in our lives, it does not make us do anything. We have a free choice and a free will how we're going to respond. We cannot control the trials of our lives. We cannot control when bad things happen to us. We cannot control what other people say. But what it does, it reveals unto us our character and reveals who we really truly are. And when we come up against opposition, we got to remember there is going to be a voice of opposition. When we say we're going to rise up and we're going to build and we're going to be trying to become a better Christian, the devil is going to come up and say, oh yeah, you're going to try to do this. Well, I'm going to send this in your life and I'm going to send this person in your life and they're going to laugh at you. They're going to mock you. They're going to scorn you. They're going to despise you. They're going to question you. But in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Nehemiah feared the Lord and he had strong confidence. Our confidence must be in the one who matters. Nehemiah is saying, you have no part in this at all. You have no part in this with us. This is none of your business. This is none of your concern. You look at the end there, and what he's saying is, therefore, we his servants will rise and build. But look at these last couple of phrases. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Pretty much he's saying, look, this is none of your business. I don't even know why you're here. I don't even know why you're running your mouth. I don't know why you're even trying to oppose us. This has nothing to do with you. I think it's a little bit of a shot at him. You know, these guys believe in all these different gods. And he says, look, the God in heaven, he's the one that's going to prosper us. He's the one I'm going to pay attention to. He's the one whose opinion matters. He's the one I'm living for. And you don't have any place here. And you see here, in Jerusalem. They're saying, this city is God's city. God chose to put his name here. God chose to do this with it. This is God's city, and you don't even belong here. I want to encourage you, when you face opposition, we need to be careful who the source is. We need to look at, sometimes you just need to say, I appreciate your opinion, but thank you, but no thank you. And like I said, so many times, opposition is something that the devil sends our way, and we begin listening to the ridicule of people who are not even living for God. We begin listening to the ridicule of people who are not even saved. We begin listening to the Tobias and the Sanballats of this world, and the devil is trying to use them, and they have no place. They have no purpose. They have nothing to do with your Christian walk. They have nothing to do with spiritual matters. They have nothing to do with your relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need to learn how to say to them, I appreciate what you're saying, but I'm not going to listen to it. What do you have to do with my spiritual walk? And that's what Nehemiah does here. He shows them whose opinion matters. And I'm not telling you to be rude. I'm not telling you to be obnoxious. I'm not telling you to be arrogant about it. But to express to people, I am living for God. I am trusting God to prosper me. And he says, well, if you give that tithe, how are you going to live for your, how you're going to be able to feed your family? I'm trusting God to prosper me. If you give your life over to God and you should, you know, how are you going to be able to do this or that? I'm not worried about your worries about me. I'm trusting God to take care of me. And I want to encourage you tonight. And don't get me wrong. There is safety in the multitude of counselors, but we need to be careful who our counselors are. This Sanballat, this Tobiah, this Geshem, these are not people we need to listen to. These are people we need to say, this is none of your business. You don't belong here. You need to kind of take a hike and go away because you don't belong here. This has nothing to do with you. You're not an Israelite. You don't believe in the one true God. Why should we listen to your opinion? So when you deal with opposition, I know this might seem like it's a little bit hard and a little bit rough and a little bit tough, but you know what? They have no heritage. They have no memorial here. This means nothing to them. The church, if they're unsaved and they care less about God, means nothing to them. Why are we going to take their opinions and care about what they say? Let's care about the opinion that really, truly matters. God's opinion. I'm not even saying my opinion. He doesn't say, I'm going to prosper us. We're going to do this. He says, no, the God of heaven will prosper us. So take that with you this week. When you face opposition, when you face people, I'm trusting in God to take care of me. I'm not trusting in this individual. And I'm not trusting in that individual. I'm trusting in God. And the third thing I want you to see, first is the opposition that's voiced, the opinion that matters. The last thing is the occupation that is desired. The occupation that is desired. And it's found in verse number 20. And I like this. When he looks at them, he says, therefore, he's talking to these three. He says, therefore, we, his servants, will rise and build. What is he saying there? He's saying, well, me and my little army that I have inspired and got the king to do this and that. No. He says, we, his servants. He views himself as a what? A servant of God. He views himself as not the one in charge, even though he is the one in charge. He doesn't even view himself as the leader, even though he has great leadership capabilities. All he views himself is a servant of Jesus Christ, a servant of God. And he is saying, we his servants, therefore we will rise and build. Nehemiah sees himself as servants, and he sees himself and others as servants. Nehemiah didn't put the work on hold and respond to this a crisis. No, he could figure out the best way to answer Sanballat and Tobiah and say, just, I'm not going to worry about it. He did not let them sidetrack him. The work needed to be done. God had put that on his heart. They were going to do it. They were going to serve the Lord because they were his servants. They weren't Tobiah's servants. They weren't Sanballat's servants. They weren't Geshem's servants. They weren't any of those guys' servants. We are God's servants. And when you face opposition about wanting to rise up and build in your Christian life, and if God speaks to your heart to grow and to become something more for him, to want to learn more, to study more, to increase in your work for him, you know what we have to do? So you say, I'm the servant of God. He is. I'm not serving anybody else. Others will not understand. Others maybe have put it on the back burner, like these men that Nehemiah is encouraging and getting them together. They had put it on the back burner. They have lived without walls for many years. They had said, it's not that important. It's not that big of a deal. We've done. No. Nehemiah comes and stirs their hearts and says, you know what? We're servants of God. God desires for us to build this, and what we're going to do is we are going to build. And he was saying, we claim the city for the Lord. And we have no right. And he's telling these guys, you have no right. You have no portion. And I think this is what we needed to do with the devil. We really need to tell the devil, hey, look, you need to get out of my life. You need to, you know, this is not my life. This is God's life. I'm a servant of God. I don't need to be messing around with sin. I don't need to be messing around with other things I shouldn't be messing around with. We need to tell the devil, hey, look, I want you out of my life because I'm a servant of God. And that's what he's saying to these three guys that is opposing him. He says, you know, you don't belong here. I'm a servant of God. And as a child of God, we need to understand that opposition is going to come. But is opposition going to stop us? If you look in the rest of the story, you know, it'd be nice to think that we heard from these guys. Nehemiah told them to go away, and they went away and never came back. Doesn't happen. They're going to come back later on. Later on, we think that they're actually going to try to kill Nehemiah. You know, because when the talking and the laughing and the scorning and the despising and the questioning doesn't stop them, the devil doesn't say, oh, They're fortified. They're going to do something. No, they're going to continue on. The opposition's going to still come. And that's why we got to make the decision. We got to decide whose opinion matters. God's opinion matters. What are we? We're in control of our life. No. we're servants of his. And I'm just going to move forward here. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to tell the devil. And I'm going to tell those in a kind, loving way, it's none of their business what my relationship with Jesus Christ is and God is. Now, I want to encourage you. I'm talking about people who are wicked and people who are evil and people who are polytheistic and that are not living for God. You know, there is a way to take encouragement from someone who loves the Lord and is a God-fearing individual, comes along your side and say, I'm worried about you. Let me encourage you with that. That's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about people who have no right and have no interest in living for God or living for the, according to the Bible, coming up and laughing and scorning and despising and questioning what God has put on your heart. Choose to live for God. Remember whose opinion matters. And say, I'm just a servant of God. I can only do the things he's asked me to do. And then live your life. So you say, well, what if this hardship comes? You know, ridicule is just the beginning. Nehemiah is getting ready to face a lot more than this. He's got a lot of work to do. And there's a ton of work that needs to be done. There's a group of people standing behind him ready to begin building. And this opposition comes and they needed to hear, we're not looking to you for help. We're not asking you for help. This same group of people, when they were building the temple, they came along. They wanted to help a little bit. He said, nope, you have no portion here. You have no right here. You have nothing to do with this. You do not serve the one true God. This is built for the one true God. And please, go ahead and leave. That's what he says to them. And when we're talking about opposition in our lives, let's remember to consider the source. So how do you deal with opposition? The opposition will be voiced. You will face things. But there is one opinion that matters. That's God. Let's make him number one priority. Let's think about what he says. Okay, I appreciate that, but what does the Bible say? I appreciate your counsel, but what does the Word of God say? And last but not least, let's think of the occupation we should desire. I want to be a servant. I want to follow after him. I want to listen to him. That's all Nehemiah was doing. Nehemiah could have stayed inside that kingdom, inside that palace, lived a good life. Instead, he traveled a long period of time to do a lot of work with people that were not really going to be thankful at different times. Why would he do that? It's because God spoke to his heart about something he needed to do. And like I told you this year, my hope is that God is going to speak to our hearts about things we need to change. Encouragement that we need. Work that we need. The growth that we need to make. The not being complacent. That we're going to rise up. That's what he said. We're going to rise and build. We're not going to listen to you. We're not going to pay attention to the opposition. We're going to rise above this. We're not going to let the challenges that are coming. We're not going to let other people determine what we are and what we're not going to do. We're going to rise up and we're going to build for the glory of God our own hearts and our own lives. God has spoken to our hearts about something. I know he does. He speaks to it all the way. He said, I haven't heard from him in a long time. Well, go back to the last time you heard from him and ask him, what is it that you said? Because most of the time it says, I want you to deal with this sin. And we become so hard-hearted and so cold-hearted that we said no. And God's waiting until we get that right so he can continue to lead us and build. What is it that God wants us to increase in our Christian life? He desires us to grow. He wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. He wants us to grow as Christians. He wants us to build our lives to be glorifying to him. Will you face opposition? Guarantee you will. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. How will you respond to it? Remember, it's going to come. Remember whose opinion matters. God's opinion matters. And then occupy that position as a servant. Lord, I don't like this. I don't like what I'm going through. I don't like to be ridiculed. I don't like to be laughed at. I don't like to be scorned. I don't like people questioning me. Lord, but I'm your servant. If you're allowing this to happen in my life, all I am going to do is care about your opinion. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to give myself over to you. That's one of the greatest ways to deal with opposition. Now, I know you say, well, Pastor, what about this and what about that? And there's all different types of scenarios. But in this story, in this context, Nehemiah said very politely and very nicely, you need to go away. This has nothing to do with you. I think it's sometimes in people's lives that are unsaved, unchristlike, care nothing about God, care nothing about your spiritual life, you need to say, this part of my life, I care about God about. I don't really want to hear your opinion. Let's go ahead and stand to your feet.